The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. On that day, as evening drew on, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us cross to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took Jesus with them in the boat just as he was, and other boats were with him. A violent squall came up and waves were breaking over the boat, so that it was already filling up. Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Quiet, be still." The wind ceased, and there was great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith?" They were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this whom even wind and sea obey?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What a relief from the heat we get in here. Here it is, finally summer, the time we all look for, coming out of the cold months of winter. But when we are hit with the summer heat, we wish it was cooler. Now that we have passed the summer solstice, the longest day of the year, I like to remind people that summer may have started, but the days are getting shorter now. And that means that it will soon be snowing. That reminder always brings about some different comments and reactions. It all depends on the perspective of the listener. Perception, if you will, is in the mind of the beholder. Take a half-empty glass of water. To a person who is awfully thirsty, they would label the glass as half-empty. I'm sure they would wish that the glass had more water in it. On the other hand, to a drowning person, they would look at the glass as half-full. I'm sure that they would wish the glass was empty. There are many examples of perception in our lives. Another example is what my daughter experienced one day in a college class. She was studying to be a pharmacist. On this particular day, the cost of prescriptions were being discussed. The instructor was showing the students how to process the cost of prescriptions. My daughter suggested the way to go to make them cost effective was to give them the free drugs that were available. No sooner was that suggestion out of her mouth when the instructor corrected her by saying, "There is no such thing as a free drug." She explained that somebody, somewhere, is paying for this free drug, including the pharmacy. The cost is passed on in the price of the drug for paying customers. Perception is a fickle thing. Perception of reality comes through our experiences and knowledge of what is presented before us. And then our opinions tend to take a lead role in shaping that perception. In a world created by the love of God, reality has been set before us in all generations. When we look to the east, we see the sun come forth to give to us the day the Lord has created. In all generations, this is true. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. When we look to the west, we see the sun take its course to lay down for another day. In all generations, this is true. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. When we look to the north and to the south, the vastness of his creation cannot be contained. In all generations, this is true. This is the reality of creation. Our amazement of this fact at one time has given credit where credit was due, that the Lord of hosts, out of love, has made for us a place where his glory is revealed and promulgated, lest we forget. It is in forgetting that we have failed. In all generations, this is true. We must be true to ourselves and ask, is it really forgetting, or is it by intention that we forget? Our portion is to maintain what has been given us. And all has been given us. That is, all that we have has been given us. There is nothing new under the sun. All has been laid before us. It is our humanity that limits our vision of the vastness of creation. And it is our pride that takes credit for our coming to understand the reason behind all that is created. Unfortunately, it is in this process that we let our pride run the show, where our opinions become confused and disoriented as to the truth of reality. The book of Job draws this out. In the previous chapters before our first reading today from Job, in chapter 36, Elihu is pointing out to Job the vastness of the Creator and trying to convince Job that in that, he says in verse 26, "Lo, God is great beyond our knowledge. The number of his years is past searching out." In chapter 37, he points out that the knowledge of God is beyond comprehension. The Almighty, we cannot discover him, preeminent in power and judgment. His great justice owes no one an accounting. Therefore, men revere him, though none can see him, however wise their hearts. In today's reading from the book of Job, chapter 38, the Lord reminds Job of the power that is his over everything. Who shut within the doors the sea and said, "Thus far shall you come, but no farther." In the end, though all is taken away from Job, he remains faithful to God. Do we need to ask if the Lord is playing a lead role in Job's perception of reality? It would behoove us to take heed of this revelation, to remember where it is that we came from and what it is we were created for. Our perception of the way of the world is a leading factor in the outcome of our experience. If our experience is not good, then we must ask ourselves, is the Lord playing a lead role in that perception or not? In St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, he gives us another perception of reality. He proclaims that if we are in Christ, we are a new creation, that the old things have passed away and that new things have come. It is not so much looking at the world as the world really is, but looking at the world as what the world was created for. Looking at the world this way, we no longer regard anyone according to the flesh. Even if we once knew Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him so no longer. Is the Lord playing a lead role in that perception or not? Today in the Gospel of Mark, the disciples have their own version or perception of the world and what is happening to them out on the sea in the boat. Their perception of the events that were happening out on the sea was that they were going to die. On Jesus' suggestion to head for the other side, the disciples take him into the boat and head out. As the weather takes a turn for the worse, the disciples' perception of matters was that they were to drown. Jesus, asleep in the boat, seems to affirm that perception. They wake him and accuse him of not caring for them. So Jesus proceeds to calm the sea and rebuke the winds, and he changes their perception of things to the level of faith they portray. He asks them, "Why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith? Is this the life we are living? Perception without faith?" Pondering the readings today, we can deduce that our faith can change the outcome of the consequences of our perception. Is the Lord playing a lead role in our perception of things or not? Because perception without faith leads to a godless world. Let's revisit the survey on the Eucharist. Almost 70% of those who claim to be Catholic do not believe in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, something that has been taught from the beginning by Jesus Christ himself. Is the Lord playing a role in our perception of the Eucharist or not? How about the issue of life? Here, some of us believe we have the right to limit life. That total gift from God, the author of life, in the beginning, by God himself. Is the Lord playing a lead role in our perception of life or not? What about law and order? We can look around the universe and admire the order of things, how all things obey the law of his commands. Who then is this whom even the wind and sea obey? Let me point out, it is only man that has a choice to disobey. Is the Lord playing a lead role in our perception of obedience to the natural law or not? What is our perception of the magisterium, the church, scripture, sacred tradition, the mass, the sacraments, the priesthood? We have in our own day, in the next week or so, the diminishing number of priests and mass times and availability of the sacraments. He indeed died for all, so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Is the Lord playing a lead role in our perception of things or not? Just yesterday, a man came up to me and asked why a priest would not hear his confession because he was a Mason, but that the church would bless a same-sex union. I had to catch my breath and take a moment to let the Spirit guide me in conversation with this man. Because justifying doing something wrong, being a Mason, by something that is wrong, blessing same-sex unions, does not make any sense. I first told him that the church condemns the Masons and that the church does not bless same-sex unions. His response was that that was not what the Pope said. I told him that the Pope did not say that, but that the media said he said that. What the Pope said was that you can bless the individual, but not the union. As for Masons, can you say Jesus Christ in your meetings? He said, we can talk about God. That's not what I asked, I said. I asked if you can say Jesus Christ in your meetings. Well, no, because there are other religions in there, and you cannot talk about religion. I said, Jesus Christ is not a religion. He is a person. Have you been a Catholic all your life? I asked. He said, yes, he has always been a Catholic and a Christian. I asked him, where does it say in Scripture to not talk about Jesus Christ? He said, it doesn't. I turned to him and said that as Christians, we are taught to proclaim Jesus Christ always and everywhere. And if we can't do that, we are not Christians. As a Catholic myself, I must ask, how can a group who perceives themselves to be Christian not talk about Christ? Is the Lord playing a lead role in his perception of the Masons or not? In our perception of things, the Lord must always come first. Then we follow. Not in our own way, but in the way of the Lord. For he is the way, the truth, and the life. My perception of things is that whomever the wind and sea obey has it over me also. There is a way to know and follow him and do all that he has commanded us to do. The church in every age has taught it without change. Sacred tradition has done it without fail. Scripture has proclaimed it by the word of God. The sturdy three-legged stool of our faith, that without one of its legs, we cannot stand. It is the love of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit that has made this possible. I don't know about you, but I find relief from the heat when I have the Lord playing a lead role in my perception of things. My help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let us not forget, whether real or intentional, that as disciples of Christ, when we get in the boat with our Lord, that our perception of things will be that of the Lord's. When we receive him totally, body and blood, soul and divinity in the Eucharist, that our perception of things will be that of the Lord's. When we do for others out of love for the Lord, that our perception of things will be that of the Lord's. Let this be true for all generations to come. So rock the boat, storm the sea, let the wind blow as it may. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.